Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ow!
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
It's meant to be a nuts joint, Harvard.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Cafeteria there?
Oh, no.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
What about the weather we're having, by the way? I'm looking out the window here, Fat. It's just superb.
Partly cloudy, 15 today.
Oh, just beautiful.
Jane,
no wind. I'll tell you what
here.
It is. A golf course day. That's what it is.
Oh, beautiful, Jim. You've got to be sitting here next to old Fat.
Oh, I'm sitting here next to double Fat.
Sucked in.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. Well, you're not quite as fat, Rabs, but you still got a little
you're
bit
getting there.
More than you need to be.
Jeez, you're chasing me.
I'll tell you what. We've got Dale Morris, our boydie, in next, and we love him, of course, and this is a Superman.
Look at
Bill.
Oh, no.
The recuperative powers of this man are extraordinary.
He's out there. He's got one leg.
I know.
I don't know how, literally. I don't know how he's going to play.
The other one's dangling off his body. So we love Dale Morris. Can't wait to chat to him. And then the second half, I see your topics, Brownless.
Topics.
Again, after yesterday's dominance, I don't understand it. But today and then midweek rub, Nath Brown and Damien Barrett, in they come. And then Andy Lee.
Andy.
And I'll tell you what happens with Andy Lee, Rabs, and this worries me. Old Fats said, just leave the opener to me. When he comes in, just leave the opener to me, which would point to some real poor humour.
Humour A1.
All right. Now, hello to you, Fats.
Hello, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day to you, Raps.
I got asthma.
Oh, don't play that, because I nearly died.
That was when he did the swim. That's in the top five funniest things ever happened.
I actually want to hear it again. I got asthma. Are you telling
me? What about the Roy?
I think I farted.
Bill, you were dangling off the back of that dinghy, and I've never laughed harder. Seriously, Razzie swam 20 metres.
You shouldn't laugh because I had asthma.
And then I gave you Ventolin, and he had a break, and then he came back in to finish the swim, because it was Bill against Campbell Brown who was swimming the channel.
English Channel.
So, and it was about it was about 500 metre swim out in Port Phillip Bay.
Freezing.
Bill did the first 20 metres and then handed over to a young Mac Horton.
Yeah.
And then
basically,
gold medalist. Well, he wasn't at that stage. Anyway, and then a couple of other magnificent swimmers. And then Bill got in to do the last 20 metres. So he's meant to swim 40 metres total and was unable to finish either of the legs.
Blew up, I did, Jim.
You did?
I got asthma,
which can kill you, you flogs. I wouldn't be gallivanting about that.
Oh, gallivanting.
Some sport news,
Jim.
Yeah,
go on then.
Golden State are taking on Portland at the minute in a nice game. I'll give you the results in a minute.
Well, spoiler alert.
Not Ben Simmons. He doesn't play. Andrew Bogut started for the Warriors.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll just... I have got the results. So look away now. Close your ears. Golden State Warriors 116. Portland 94.
Oh, so that's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, that's comprehensive.
Righto.
Speaking of that, Ben Simmons, Jim, has announced today on Twitter this.
Hey, guys, tough way to finish the season. I just want to let everybody know I really appreciate the support through the year. The home crowd was amazing, electric all season long. And I'm really looking forward to getting back in the lab and putting that work in and getting ready for next season. So I'm looking forward to that. Also like to announce that I am going to be a boomer for the upcoming events. So stay tuned.
A boomer, Jim.
Jeez.
For the upcoming events, which we are thinking...
the Olympics, one of them.
No, I think it's the World Cup, first of all.
Well, in China.
And that's fine.
And then
the Olympics.
I don't know if it is Olympics. Bill, certainly World Cup.
That's got to mean... upcoming events has to mean Olympics.
I can read into it pretty well.
He's sounding pretty Australian.
Yeah, not really.
Come on, Benny.
Speaking of NBA, geez, basketball's taken over. They had their draft lottery, Jim, which the AFL, I think, have looked at, have they? Where if you come last, you get 18 balls in the AFL, say. If you finish last, you get 18 balls in the lottery.
Yep.
If you finish second last, you get 17, 16. And if you win it, say you're Geelong, you get one ball in the lottery.
Well, I think the AFL model they looked at was if you missed the finals.
Right.
So if you came 9th down to 18th, you went along those lines.
Right.
But I don't think they ever got close to doing it, but they did sort of talk about it.
It was announced today. So very interesting this, Jim. The worst side in the competition were New York. They would have had the most balls in there. Guess what pick they ended up with?
What?
Pick three.
Three.
The second worst team was Phoenix. They had the second most balls in there. They got pick six.
Right.
And then the seventh worst team were the Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans, and they got number one pick, Jim.
Well, that's so how that's, it can work.
I know. That's interesting how it all works.
That's what can happen with that particular model.
Beautifully explained, too.
It was, yeah. Not the AFL part, but that's all right.
But the New York, now that I'm guessing that's the Knicks. Yeah, there were two teams in New York. Now there's one in Brooklyn.
New York Knicks, yeah.
But the New York Knicks have been rubbish, haven't they, for way too long. Yeah. How the hell is that possible? That's like the Big Apple.
Mm.
How's their team junk? Forever.
They've paid the wrong players too much money. Right. That's what happened.
And the Lakers are terrible this year, so they've got to... Anyway, I don't know anything about it. I just know I'm a Golden State Warrior.
And jumping on the fastest horse, Bill?
Well, I remember I went over there, Jim.
Right.
I went over there with our good friends from Tab. Shut up. Good story, this. And I go up to buy a T-shirt, a Golden State Warriors T-shirt, and I said I'll have the yellow... what colour are they? Yellow?
Yep.
I said I'll have the green tea because they must have two, do they? Green and
I thought you said this is a good story.
It's a good story.
Well, if I remembered it, it'd be good.
Oh, no.
So I said,
what sort of a start are we off to?
No idea.
Boydie's walked out. He's had enough. He said, I'm not coming on to this amateur crap.
Go to a break.
Dale Morris in the studio up next.
I got asthma.
So Dale Morris just has one career goal. He walks in, kicks. He's very excited. The double fists means he's got two career goals.
What?
There's a goal.
Where have we dug that up from?
There's three goals.
Three.
Yeah, there's three gems, though.
252 games and three goals.
Last line defence mainly, so doesn't get that much of a look at it.
He's drifted down there a bit. He just can't kick him.
No, it's only three, but I've saved thousands.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually got funny. Who said that? The other Matty Boyd. Not you, Boydie.
You can call me Boydie, just don't call Boydie me.
Where is Boydie, by the way? When did we last lay eyes on him? What's he up to?
The Pies.
The Pies, yeah. Loving it.
Doing what? Development coaching? Or
yeah, he's a coach down there, so he's really thoroughly enjoying himself. I spoke to him a little while ago when he first got the gig, and he said it's a complete change. You get that physical exhaustion from being a player, but as a coach, it's all mental. Physically, he feels fine, but mentally, just drained.
Because he did write, you're one of the nicer guys. We know that. You'll ever meet. We know that. But he said in the last couple of years at the Doggies, he actually became funny.
Keith?
He became a bit of a class clown. That's you they're talking about.
Oh, no, we have a bit of fun at the Dogs. You have to. I mean, footy's such a serious business. You got to find the fun in it. And whether that's having a laugh at yourself or others, you just got to find a way.
So, Dale, I'm reading here that you've been drinking a litre of bone broth a day.
You're on.
Made by your beautiful wife, Gemma. And I'm reading here where it says you boil the bones down and all the ligaments and cartilage and bone marrow. All goes into this soup. You take the bones and the meat out, boil it down into this
substance.
And that's great to help your body to heal.
It is. It sounds like you can make some up with that.
That sounds disgusting.
So, it is actually beautiful. It's very nice. It probably doesn't sound great. We haven't painted it in a very good light there, but you can use any bones you want. Turkey bones, beef bones, chicken bones, anything.
Why is it good? What does it do?
All that stuff you just spoke about is in there. It's full of goodness.
Ligaments, cartilage, bone marrow.
It helps with rehab. It helps with injury, recovery. It's just so good for you. Why wouldn't you?
What's it taste like?
Well, it depends. If you cook it with chicken bones, it's going to taste a bit like chicken.
Funny enough.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Turkey.
Yeah, a bit like turkey.
Gobble.
Probably doesn't sing at you, Bill, while you're drinking it.
As it's going down.
Who put you onto that, please? You wouldn't have thought of that.
No, well, you're right. I did not think of that. But this came about because the kids and my wife, they have food allergies, anaphylaxis and stuff like that. So my wife did a bit of research on it. And to heal our kids' tummies, they go on something that's called a GAPS diet, where all the food is really simple to digest so their guts can heal and hopefully they can heal and recover from their food allergies that they've got. And a part of that process is bone broth. Jem did a lot of research on bone broth, and we found out it's great for recovery, great for injuries, especially ligaments and stuff. And from there, I've been having some intermittently, but when I get injured, we really ramp it up and try and have the liter a day. Mm.
What other remedies have you been to? Because I dare say a lot of people would have wrote in or spoke to you about remedies or procedures and things like that.
I will give anything a go. Remember, the bracelet I'm wearing here is a magnetic bracelet. It's meant to help with your balance and your flow of your body and stuff like that. I'll give it a go. It doesn't hurt. You can wear it.
Arthritis is supposed to be good for.
Yes, good for arthritis too. See, you're all over it too, Billy.
Well, I did have one, but... Actually, I've lost it.
Oh, you just realised?
Yeah, he had to look at his own wrist to see if he'd lost it.
I did use that one. But there would have been a lot of people telling you what to do.
Yeah, you get that over your career. You get a lot of people trying to give you advice, and that all comes from a good place. And what works for you is different. I spoke to Murph when he was playing about the way that I eat. I've cut out all processed carbs. So I'll have high-fat, high-protein diet. You might like that one
Hello,
too.
Hello, Bill. Cool. High-fat, high-protein.
Yes, yes.
Sounds good.
We'll talk later.
But, we will. Because the doctors would be telling you one thing about your knee. Mm-hmm. And you've kind of gone against them, is
it? No, not at all. Not at all. No. We've all worked together. The surgeon, our club doctors, physios, everyone, the conditioning staff, when I hurt my knee, we all got together and it was a collaborative approach to see what the best way going forward was with my knee.
But he wanted to do surgery.
No. No, youngie.
Did you tell me during the break?
No, I didn't say that. You had your headphones on. I don't think you're listening to me.
No, but he wouldn't have been.
Yeah. Righto, sorry. No, you all got together. Good.
Yeah, we got together. Yeah. So, and we take everything into consideration. Yep. That's what's great about our medical staff. And me, 36, if I have an e-reco, it doesn't look good for next year. No one wants a 36-year-old back pocket coming off an ACL. So we take that into consideration, the history that I've been able to do it before, G has been able to do it before. So the best thing for me was to give this a go. I was in a straight leg brace for about 3.5 weeks, nearly a month, to give the knee the best chance to scar up, to heal, and for the ACL to get strong again. Yeah. And then after that, in a hinge brace. And during that first 2 months, it was the great unknown. We didn't know if this was healing. So I'm doing all the bone broths. I've got the brace on. I'm upper body training, doing the works, not knowing if this is going to heal. If it didn't heal, then we'd probably have to go down the ACL reco.
Right.
But this was worth a shot because the way it's going now, everything's progressing really well. We've always said around the bye week is a return date, so we're sticking to that. And everything's going well now. So if I'd had the op, it could have been season done.
Year done.
Yep.
I like
so
that,
Bill,
Tim.
Collaborative approach with the doctor.
All together.
That's it.
And it's going to be Morrow's program from now on. It's going to be known
that's what
as
it's
that.
Called. Yep. Tomorrow. Not a partial ACL.
Tomorrow.
Hey, we need to talk about the Dogs.
And my story.
Exactly right. Big win up at Ballarat for them. We need to talk about that next. Hey, yeah, we got Dale Morris in. Great catching up with him, and lots we need to discuss with you, Morrow. But before we do, a couple of things. Firstly, happy birthday to little Boom Boom Harvey, 41 today.
Yesterday, Jim.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you, Boom. And secondly, I read, speaking of North, because they take on Sydney, Lance Franklin unlikely, apparently, to face North Melbourne at Blunston Arena on Saturday night due to a hamstring strain.
Yeah, I told you that. Remember, so he ain't coming. Buzzing around, and it was a bad one, Jim, because he was flying finally at training.
Well, he has made an awful mess of North over the journey, so they won't mind missing out on him. Now, Dale Morris is in here. We caught up with each other just before the game you played against Richmond.
Yep.
And you said that, I said, you've got a bloody good record against this mob. And you said, yeah, and it's going to continue tonight. Yeah. And it did.
Well, it did. I said, we just match up well against a team like Richmond. It's funny, there's a lot of teams like that that just match up well and play well against certain teams. And Richmond, one of them, it's always a really good tight battle. But yeah, we're able to do it again.
Mm. What about the Cats? How do you match up?
I can't remember the last time we beat them, actually.
Oh, no. Is that this week?
Yeah, Saturday down at GMHBA, 4:35 start. Yeah. Get down there. Cats and the Dogs.
Here's my strong advice to you, Dale. Mm. Don't go anywhere near GMHBA. Stay at home.
It's a massive home ground advantage, isn't it? It'd be nice if we had that.
It'll take 8 years off your life, the trip down and then the trip back, so don't do it.
No, it's a great stadium, isn't it?
It is a very nice stadium, I'll give you that. It's even nicer if we get the win. The drive is a bit more pleasurable on the way home, but it's going to be a tough game. Geelong are flying. They're playing some really, really good footy across the board. They're not relying on one player. It's a really even team game, so we're going to need to be on.
Well, you will, and tell you what, the midfield are going all right for the Western Bulldogs. Josh Dunkley's one that's got under the guard a bit. He's going that well. He's actually pushed Libba out.
Yeah, at the start of the year, I think Dunks' midfield time had dropped because Libba was coming back. Yep. We had some fit, healthy midfield list that was coming in, and unfortunately that meant that Dunks had to spend a bit more time forward. And like you said, the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's stepped back in there for longer periods of time, and he's been fantastic.
And the Bont, of course. Is he your favourite, or do you like Norts?
I'll go with Norts because he was down back with me last year, so he's closer to my heart. But no, Bont's just a smooth mover in there. He looks good when he's got the ball. He's one of those players, it looks like he's just got time to move. He can break tackles. It's really nice to watch. But no, I like Norty too.
Aaron Norton, how well's he going? And he must have, because you're a man who likes the rig, the upstairs. And he has throwing some steel around in the off-season because of the big pumping arms he's got rolling.
He's still a kid, though. Yeah. You know, it is impressive. He is trying to take me on in the gym, but I've still got him covered well and truly. Oh, so good. I've got to hold on to that for a little bit longer and just deflate his ego just a touch.
Got a nice shoulder roll, too. He's got a bit of swagger about him, which I love with the big forwards.
He's got a bit of swagger.
I would, too, if I'm clunking those marks that he's doing, kicking those goals. I'd have my chest out. We don't get to do that as backs. You get a spoil. You can't really walk around with your chest out. So he's making up for all that time last year.
But he is only 19. You're right, isn't he? Yeah. He's only a kid.
He's still a kid, so he should get better and better each year. They say that the talls take longer to develop, but he's bucking that trend and he's just going for it.
A couple of others I really like. Tim English, I know Big Duke, our man, loves his ruck work and he's a very big fan.
He's sore.
But he gets around the ground and does some nice work there too.
He's a very impressive runner, Timmy. Not even for a big guy, just he's a good runner in general. In the preseason, I did some running sessions with him, and he was smoking me. So he can move. He can cover the ground.
Where's he from?
Where Timmy is a Perth boy.
London? No. Thought he might have been English.
And Bailey Smith, while we're rolling through a few of these younger cats.
Oh, look at that. Morrow likes it.
I can't even look at you. I love Bailey's work.
Each week he's been getting better and better. He's understanding what his body can do. You see him bashing into guys now, bouncing off them. Really, he's a real competitor, and that's what I love about him. And each week he's just improving, getting better and better. And I think the games you see that we've won, the game against Richmond in particular, that was off the back of our young guys stepping up. So it looks really good for the future.
And Ed Richards, who's going for a real flaming red Nordberg at the minute. It's just getting, which I love, by the way, anyone who goes for the Nordberg. He can play too.
He can. Yeah. You just got to embrace it, don't you? And he has, with the red hair, he's just let it go. Yeah. Makes him look quicker, I reckon. He's quick anyway. So really good mover, really good speed. So it's good to see him use his strengths out there.
Ever climb or shake a goalpost down back in your 252 games?
No, I've been a post and got hung on before, but no, I've never thought of shaking giving someone a ride if the ruckman's there going to jump on my shoulders and try and touch it. But no, I actually didn't know that ruling. I knew it wouldn't have been looked at very nicely if you had tried to climb a post, but I didn't know there was an actual rule saying you can't. It's a free kick from the goal line. So now we've all learnt a valuable lesson. So Dane's done the right thing for everyone, all us backs.
All right, we'll let you go, mate. So we're thinking around the bye.
Yeah, around the week after the bye, if everything goes well. So that's not far away, four or 5 weeks.
Bugger all.
And the boys are good, your little ones?
Yeah, they're good. Never a dull moment with the boys at home.
Good. Good boys.
All right, Boydie. It's so good seeing you.
Can't finish like that.
And Dale Morris is a star, and he's not far away from playing. Exactly. Always a pleasure.
Beautiful. Thanks.
This is a day we're only just going to get through, I reckon. You better get your intro to Andy Lee right.
There's Turkey. Oh, Turkey Turner, Mick Turner. Now, Jim, I received today a lovely message from my neighbour, Bowdy.
Nice.
Who said, hey, Bill, can I please use your yellow garbage bin tonight?
Yep.
Down in Geelong, because it's not full, let's be honest. The one up here is full of glass.
Yes.
But the one down there isn't. So she used it, and I thought that's very nice, because we've got a very nice neighbourhood.
Yes.
Where the next door neighbour there, they're from Colac, lovely people.
Yep.
Next door there, don't know them, but across the road is Bowdy. So very nice neighbours. And Jim.
But nice of her to ask you.
Exactly.
Rather than just assume that she's actually texted you. That's the right way to go about it.
And when we talk about neighbours, we're always hearing awful stories about neighbours, their fence, the trees, that's music too loud, nudity, whatever, Jim.
That's it.
But I thought today,
hence
133353, we would turn that around and tell us about the good things about your neighbours.
All right.
So the topic being, Jim.
All right, what is it?
Why is your neighbour Ace?
Oh. What are we giving away, Rabsy?
Double pass to the Triple M Comedy Night. That is invite only. Will Anderson, Limo, Adam Rosenbarks, and Cal Wilson. That's all the comics.
Cal Wilson.
Yes.
Nice. Why is your neighbour Ace, Jim?
The stories behind why you've got an ace neighbour.
Yes.
An old fat's decided to do the reverse mawashi.
That's it, Jim.
And he's going with, why are your neighbours ace? Rather than, have you got a bad neighbour, which is the one we normally
Because we like to be positive and have some nice stories.
Well, who we got on the line?
Well, Dave's there in Altona. G'day, David. Welcome to the show.
How are you, boys?
Good. What do you got for us?
Yeah, just on a Friday night, we go over next door neighbours, watch the footy, burn all his wood and drink all his beer.
Oh, there we are.
Do you take any beer over?
Yeah, sometimes.
That's a good neighbour, Bill.
That is, mate.
Use all his wood and drink all
wood
his beer.
Wood fire, how good's that?
Shelley, South Meringue. Hey, Shell.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Good. Shell, what do you got for us?
I've got the best neighbours. We originally moved from Brisbane about 5 years ago, and having no family down here in Melbourne, we look after each other's kids, we take the mail in, we take the bins in when we're away. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, no, name them. Shell, what's their names, please?
First names.
Okay, so we've got Vicky and we've got Italo.
Well done.
What's his name?
Italo.
Interesting.
Yeah, Raphael. Hello, Shane.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Shane. What have...
Well, we've got a group of about four neighbours that get together about every 2 or 3 months for happy hour. We have drinks. All our kids have grown up together. We look after each other's pets and look after each other as well. It's great.
How's that, Jim? Four neighbours get together, have drinks, all that. That is fantastic.
Matty, turn that around, please. I need to hear that again.
Look after the pets.
Yeah, just the way you set that up so beautifully for Shane to be able to answer the question. Damien Geelong, Damo.
Fat and skinny, how are you?
Good, Damo.
Good. I've got a really good neighbour. I live in a court. There's six houses and a couple of other old neighbours there too. But every weekend... he's out there either spraying like with weed killer on the cracks in the ground if there's like weeds growing. He mows the lawns of every neighbour. He does the edges and everything. Oh. And usually sit down and have a drink with him. And on top of that, he looks after his wife who's in a wheelchair too.
Oh, how good.
So he's Ace's neighbour.
What's his name, his first name?
Leo. Oh,
Leo, where do you live? What suburb?
Cario.
Cario.
Good on him. Good
that's on very
him.
Good neighbour. Excellent neighbour.
You live in a cul-de-sac, Bill. That's what can
it's
happen.
It's a court, Jim, you floggy.
James
said.
In Heathmont. Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I've got a very good neighbour, and I ended up marrying her.
Oh, now let's start from the start.
I went through the same situations as you two guys went through.
Yep.
I was asked to a wedding. And they asked me if I would like to take someone, and I thought I'll ask the single girl next door.
Oh, have you actually spoken to her?
Yeah, we were neighbours.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Neighbours, so you're always friendly with your neighbours.
Neighbours.
Not always.
So jumping the fence.
Jesse in Sunbury. Hello, Jess.
Hey, boys. Yeah, I live in a court of five, and every Sunday, without fail, 4 o'clock on the dot, we all walk out the front, and we have what we call Sunday sips. We'll get together and have a drink.
So every Sunday at five?
4 o'clock.
Four,
he said.
Yeah, well, he said a quarter five. How good's that? That's fantastic, Jess.
Unreal, Bill. It's great.
I love that. That's Australian, Jim.
You reckon?
That is Australian.
Every time on a Sunday?
4 o'clock.
Around 4 o'clock,
and
Bill.
Have a sip.
In a quarter of five?
Exactly. That I love that. Actually, I really...
I can't remember, was it James from Heathmont, I think, who Shane. We got on the... Oh, Shane, was it, from Yarraville? And what Bill does really well is he resets the topic so that people listening who have maybe just come into the show know exactly the question we're asking, like this.
Interesting.
Yarraville, hello, Shane.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Shane. What have...
Oh, we got a group of about four.
Don't cut it out. He cut it out.
What of? You just stopped.
Maddie cut it out.
You just stopped at what
of. What has your neighbour been so good at or something? But he cut that bit out.
No, he did not.
James and Heathmont, he wins because that's a very nice neighbour, that. He married her, Bill. Well done, yeah. James. You've won this.
Jimmy, you are heading along with a mate to the Triple M Comedy Night featuring Will Anderson, Lemo, Adam Rosenbachs and Cal Wilson at the Comics Lounge, 7th best comedy venue in the world.
Did you like
Thank
another?
Thank you very much.
Hey, well done, James.
Hey, James.
Thank you. Yes.
Does anyone call you Jimmy?
A couple of good mates do, yeah, occasionally.
I, before I met Sam Newman, had never been called Jimmy by anyone in my life.
Yeah.
Now. Since then, that's all I ever get that's called by get everyone.
It's and my mother hates it.
Does she?
Oh, yes. You get called Flog.
No, don't say that to James. He's not, it sounded like a nice enough fella. Now, Bill.
Yep.
I'll tell you what we do here, and that's go with the feedback, which I love. Swanee from Croydon. My neighbour is Ace.
Yep.
Because they're the reason I'm not voting for Labor with their signs on the front fence and magnets. So Swanee's cut up a little rough.
He's gone the other way.
That's
Jim.
It. Jules says, bloody hell, radio at its best, Bill. Because of the same reason Andrew enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that is Bill introducing every caller. Just runs out of words.
That's it, Jim.
Play it again for us,
Bradley. Interesting.
Yeah, Raphael. Hello, Shane.
Shane.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Shano. What have...
Oh, we got a group of about four.
It wasn't that long a gap there. I'm telling you.
You can't just stop talking.
Matty's played with that. No, there was not that gap was not that long.
He never has to play with it.
He does play with it a lot. Let me tell you, little curls in there. But there wasn't that gap.
Bill.
Jim.
You can't just not speak. That's not an option when you work in our business. You understand that?
Remember we stopped speaking to see if the music will come on? My God. What's that when you stop speaking for a minute, isn't it? Which is a long time on radio.
Not a minute, Bill, no.
What's after the hour of three, Jim? What do we got?
I tell you what, we've got Andy Lee coming up. Yes. And you need to listen to the start of the Andy Lee interview, which I think is going to be around 3:30, because Bill's prepared a zinger off the top. He thinks it's real crisp.
I don't know if I'm going to go with it now.
Bill.
I'm worried about
it. You're going to have to. And Andy's locked into a podcast at the moment, so he can't hear what we're saying. So you just need to get it ready and deliver it properly when he comes in. You ready for it?
No.
Midweek rub next with Nafe and Damo.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rub.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Former Richmond star, Western Bulldogs as well, Nafe Brown in the house. Nice to see you, Brownie.
Always good to be here with you two guys. Oh. And you've got by
just
for how many years
look.
Now being a one-trick pony in here, Bill. Every time we come on, we're just discussing how you joke about how stupid he is and how dumb he is, but just keeps rolling out and people keep laughing.
He can't actually stop being that way, so therefore it helps us. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. But don't forget, most influential player in the competition, according to himself, for 10 weeks.
It was a good 10 weeks, Damo. Yeah.
What
it was
about
a very
that
good 10 weeks.
Gag you did, speaking of humour, when you went down to Collingwood and you had the cameras there for the Sunday footy show and you saw James Clement.
Oh, Jimmy.
And
yeah.
What about that? We're on the Sunday footy show watching that, Damo. We go, oh, no,
don't go there. Don't go there. Oh, he's gone there.
He likes it being brought up too, James, doesn't he?
He doesn't really enjoy it that much. We brought it up on the Dead Set Legends a few years ago and he told me it was time to move on.
Well, what we did, and
this is years ago. Very much living in 05.
Years ago on this show, we used to get you to ring up and try and get free stuff out of that exact line.
Yep.
So Brownie just randomly would ring like a shop and go, oh, it's Nathan Brown here. I used to be a star for the Tigers. In fact, kick five on Jimmy Clement in a quarter. Can you give me something? Every now and then they did.
They would. We actually rang Rocket during that time as well. I was going to make a comeback, Rocket. I want to come back to the Dogs. And he was a little bit lost to what to say to me.
That's right.
Didn't beep anything out after that, did you?
No.
He gave me a spray.
Now, is it weird that Dane Rampey gets fined more for umpire sledging than he does for climbing the padding?
Yeah, it's totally weird. And it's weird that the AFL signed off on this on Saturday morning, the morning after the game, on all aspects of the game. And then a bit of outcry kicks in, and then they then fine him. So $11,000 in total, has to pay $5,000, $10,000 for the "you sound like a little girl" comment, which I didn't like. But how he got a $10,000 fine attached to that, Jim, I have no idea. $5,000 of which is real, a $1,000 fully suspended fine for climbing the goalpost. But given that that wasn't even a free kick at the time, given the umpire saw it, it seems strange.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see, Nafe. Let's pick a game that's coming up this weekend.
Geelong Western Bulldogs.
Right, Geelong Western Bulldogs, okay. So we're down at GMHBA and Geelong are 70 points up and there's a shot after the siren for a Western Bulldogs player. I would like Tom Stewart to climb the padding.
Mm. Yeah. And what would happen?
Just to see what happened.
What would happen, Damo?
It'd be a free kick and a 50-metre penalty pay and the kick would be taken from the top of the goal square.
You reckon that would happen this week?
It would happen this week on the back of what's happened last week.
So it would go from 70 points to 64, the win.
Yeah.
But even if it was 80 metres out, Tom Stewart could well turn around to the AFL and go, well, if it was common sense last week,
it was
why
practical
isn't it
umpiring.
This week?
Yeah. So, Damo, who's the final person at the AFL who ticks off on all this stuff? Because it seems very confusing to your normal, I guess, footy follower out there.
Look, Steve Hocking's head of footy. So I would imagine, well, Steve Hocking was quoted in the press release yesterday. So it would have gone through him. Other bodies would have brought the case to him, so to speak. He would have signed off on it and ultimately his name's on the release.
Would Tom Stewart get fined also?
I'm sure he got $5,000.
Yeah, he would.
Bucks,
and he might actually have to pay it, I'd imagine, given that Dane has been used as, quote, a warning for other people not to. There could be, again, I haven't spoken to them in the last couple of hours, but the Swans, as far as I know, are still looking into it. And I know the AFLPA on record last night was looking into it. What do we do? They're not happy. They think the fines are excessive. And I concur with that for what it's worth.
$10,000 is very excessive.
Five is real of the 10. Five of
but
is
only
suspended.
1,000 of that's for climbing the post.
Yeah, and that is fully suspended.
Right.
So yeah, but look, I just didn't like the way it all unfolded. Yeah. And again, the grey in the game, Jim, on so many fronts is confusing. There's grey as a result of what they did there.
All roads led to Werribee when Tuesday for the Werribee Mansion for the AFL CEOs and
annual CEOs conference.
And commissioners or
no? Yeah. Oh, there might have been some commissioners. There were certainly executives there from the AFL and
chairmen.
I think that's separate, Bill. I think they gather separately.
Right.
They meet at the start of the year as well. So, yeah, look, there's a lot of dry topics on it. The one that's got the clubs worked up to a point, and some not all clubs, but some is the soft cap. And incorporating AFLW operations within that overall.
Explain what a soft cap is.
Soft cap is, it's basically been one of the great, and arguably the greatest equaliser in the competition. We've had a good year, haven't you, Jim? You've regularly talked about how this competition is now even, and a lot of it is to do with the fact, Bill, you cannot go over a figure incorporating both your player payments and also your coaching structures as well.
Stuff.
Coaching structure was, to use the West Coast, for example, they would have had so much more thousands of dollars per year. Now it's all the same amount, and clubs can't abuse it. If you go over it, you are taxed to within 50% of it. And clubs, as far as I know, have not gone over it. They've just chosen to not go over it because it is a way. You could go over it,
good,
but you get taxed, so it's dead money.
It's good.
And they've chosen to be quite frugal with it, which I think is a good thing. And now incorporating Brownie, the AFLW operations within that, to streamline it, to again keep the money focused, so to speak. Look, it's going to cause some dramas, particularly for clubs who don't have the AFLW within their operations.
Yep.
But it's again, it's another tightening up.
The two issues they had, Bill, this is why it came in, is firstly, the rich clubs were just spending ridiculously more than the rest on their footy department.
And coaches
and staff around it.
Righto.
So the inequity.
Because
they could, yeah. So the inequity in that was just getting worse and worse.
Yep.
But also, what was happening were assistant coaches were getting paid 50 grand a year more than the year before, and then another 50 the next year.
Ooh.
So the inflation within football spending was ridiculous.
Right.
So the AFL basically came in and said, we just can't sustain this.
Well, that's a good rule.
It was. And it's what it's led to is the tightening of the competition, where we saw North Melbourne, who were, 16th?
Yep.
Play Geelong, who were the best team in the comp, and it was a 4-goal game.
It was.
So,
and closer than that.
So I actually love it. And we've also seen teams jump up and win a flag and then jump back down again. So for me, I think it's one of the best
things. The game's in good shape.
Yep.
It is.
Totally.
And at the meeting at Werribee, also there was a video unveiled.
Yes.
Unveiled, actually. The Adam Goods video.
Yeah.
And it's confronting, apparently.
It is. And there's two Adam Goods documentaries coming out in the next few months. The first one is a collating of all media reports pertaining to that 2015 season. So as far as I've had it told, Bill, I haven't seen it. I will see it reasonably soon. But basically just a retelling and a representation of media around that time. And look, we all discussed this at the time. I had a strong view that it was racist, a lot of what was going on.
And the booing.
And the booing, all attached to it. So it's done in that American style of documentary where it's just all pieced together. There's a second one, I believe, where Adam Goods has partaken in an interview about the whole saga, and other people around him have as well. So they're two separate products. The one you referred to was shown to the CEOs yesterday, and it's going to be a wake-up call of sorts to the industry when it is released.
Michael Voss and Brett Ratton are two examples, Nafe, of very good footballers who became coaches.
Yep.
Didn't quite get it right, although I thought Brett Ratton was actually pretty
bloody
good.
They actually both unlucky to be moved on because they both did a really good job. And what you're asking is, should they get another chance? And I think you can only look at Brett Ratton being at Hawthorn and then going to St Kilda. Everybody thought St Kilda, and they're not out of the woods yet, but we're going to finish down near the bottom this year, maybe win one or two games. But the game style that Brett Ratton's brought to St Kilda, you can see that he's got a really good football brain. And him being moved out of Carlton, I think most Carlton people realise now, was a mistake, because that was the start of the downfall of that footy club.
And Michael Voss, of course, at the Brisbane Lions and then gone to Port Adelaide. So these blokes have stayed in the system, and you've got to think second time around, Purple, they're going to do a better job.
Yeah. And Jim, just it's a coincidence. I spoke to Michael Voss last week, and this has come up today, but that'll be published tomorrow on In The Game. And I'm only referring to that because he's gone really deep into the behind-the-scenes movements to get into coach in the first place. And without giving too much away, he wouldn't have taken that job, but has learned so much from taking it. And as we know, he's now had 5 years in the system under Ken Hinckley, and he's been really focused on that 5 years.
Now, Nate, I had a chat to someone the other day at my gym, which is interesting enough. But what we spoke about was a coach becoming a coach, because they start off coaching, right, and they're all quite nice to the players and media. Then at some stage, a coach becomes a nasty and becomes
ruthless.
Ruthless, third word.
Control freak.
All that, right? So at some stage they do, and the two of the best coaches in Victoria are these two, Alistair Clarkson, who is ruthless, nasty,
yep,
and also Craig Bellamy. And they're the ones. So, and then I reckon if you have a look at it.
Do you think we've gone too far to the nice style coach?
Well, the ones that are they successful? And I'm thinking about Brendan Bolton here, who's his fourth year now. It's nearly time for him to turn, or whatever you do, and become nasty with his play. And I'm only talking for the 2 hours, a couple of hours during the week if you have a bad loss, as we saw Clarko do it, and then the 2 hours on the Saturday where you become unsociable, you come boring, whatever it is, to win.
From watching Brendan Bolton's press conferences, and I think he's obviously got some talent around what he's been able to do as an assistant coach, and now I think every time I listen to him, I feel like he's saying the things that people want to hear. Like he's saying the things that the media or the supporters want him to hear. I'd love to hear Brendan Bolton just tell it the way Brendan Bolton tells it, because I still think he's speaking like an assistant coach trying to tick all the boxes, whereas I think if he just went out there and called it the way he said it, because I don't think he's saying it the way he says it.
No, and two of the coaches, Luke Beveridge, I reckon he's turned into that. Nasty and
it helps, Bill, when you win a premiership and have success early.
Yeah,
you've got that to fall back on.
Bucks has gone the other way. Dimmer's worked for him.
Yeah. The only thing about that, Bill, is if you speak to any of the Storm players or any of the Hawthorne players, they love those two blokes.
No, I'm not saying.
So there's no, you know, they can be ruthless, but you've still got to have your players going with you.
And make them a better person and a better player, like Grigor said about Damien Hardwick. But if we ask Cameron Smith, he's still got the fear of God in about bellyache.
You need to be able to fear your coach at some point. Not all the time, but there's got to be a certain point where he puts his foot down and you go, oh.
I don't reckon Patrick Cripps or Charlie Curnow fear Brendan Bolton.
This is the Midweek Rub.
The chance is up.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have the boys in. Nath Brown, of course, and Damien Barrett. And Damo's Friday night, the huddle. Didn't get off to a flyer. Up in Sydney.
We were late.
Well, it was unusual because Juddy chose to travel on this occasion. He's taken your view, Jim, where he just beats to his own drum, and
But he's a Sunday. He's a Sydney traveller because there's something up there that gets him.
Well, he was up there early because he had a cashew, I'm led to believe.
Cashew.
Well, he said he had a business meeting, whatever that means. So we got the usual flight out, Jim, but it was delayed on the tarmac, wasn't it, Brownie, for a good hour and 15 minutes, which just set us back, unfortunately for Juddy, late to get there at the SCG at 6 o'clock. We wanted it about 6:05, and we had it on our phones and our apps just to hear how we managed to cope with the first 4 or 5 minutes. And Brownie, it probably wasn't great, was it?
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. We've quickly found out over the last couple of years that he's got a very set of skills, Jamie, and he doesn't really go outside of that too often. And this is what we come up with.
Oh, welcome to Triple M Footy at the Triple M SCG, brought to you by McDonald's. We've got an absolutely huge night tonight. We've got Essendon coming in at 11th place, taking on the last place Sydney Swans. A couple of big ins and outs, the biggest one of them, Joe Danaher. But before I go any further, I'm going to get to you, Tom Brown.
The 11th place Bombers up against the last place.
That was it,
Sydney.
So, Jim,
where's the sizzle off the top?
Can you give us a version of what should happen?
Where's the bang off the top? You've got to get. This is a destination.
Straight bloke that was unbelievable at footy and the most boring man when he did play footy. And he's turned that, and we've made him on a Friday night. And we've realised that he does have a little bit of talent in telling a story and being the fifth wheel in a team. But when you start to put him on his own and say, this is, you need to own this. I don't know why they got him on the footy show last year, because I reckon that might have been the start of the downfall, Bill. He's very particular what he can do.
Piece it all together, Jimmy.
He's gone straight to a journo, too. Like Tom Brown. Off the top. That's not your number one.
No, that's the get out.
He can't do anything else.
That's the get out. And we got Tom Brown here. Tom, you take it.
You've got to have something. You've got to set up who your guests are. You've got to set
he's
up
poor TV talent as well.
And Jim, we've discussed this a bit, Brownie and I. We left West Coast and they blew up. He left Carlton, they blew up. He went to Carlton, they blew up.
He saw the writing on the wall at West Coast, and I'm getting out of here. And
then footy
I got to Carlton, and I blew that joint up as well.
It's all about Juddy.
I love it. Now, speaking of different cats, Malcolm Blight, the all-time great.
Yeah.
It wasn't surprising after the kick after the siren up in Sydney was a drop punt and fell about 20 metres short that Blighty came straight out and said, "Why don't practice kicking torps?"
Exactly right. And we used to under Blighty down there at Geelong because he would kick him. He would kick him before training.
Absolutely.
70 metres. Mm. The perfect torpedo. So he made us all kick torps.
Did you go with a drop punt or a torpedo over the silo?
Drop punt. I had to get the height. Yeah. But
that
the one from
that was
70.
A rainwater tank, too.
Rainwater.
You notice whenever.
Like Stratco ones.
You notice whenever it's shot, Brownie, it's shot from underneath to try and make it look as high as possible.
Elongated.
That's it.
I'm not listening to any of this crap because I know how high it was.
Of course you do.
But the 75 metre goal after the siren, I could have gone drop punt or two.
Yeah.
And I went the drop punt because I knew I had it in me.
And even Cal Sinclair on the stroke of half time went with a drop punt as well. Really poor effort.
But poor old David Myers has lost a finger. And he actually wrote
can't hold the torp.
Well, he can't hold the torp because his hands are mangled, which we didn't know. So another thing we sit back and go, oh, geez.
You don't need all your fingers to hold a torpedo.
It would help, I think, Brownie.
Yeah, anybody out there, the torp, you've got a fair amount in your palms at either end. I don't care that he hasn't got a finger.
He can hold a drop punt.
Come on, Dave.
It's his middle finger, and it's partially.
It's like the week before when we had a crack at poor old Ollie Wines. He's not going that well. Broken ankle. You, Damo, I heard you say that.
No. We take the view, Bill, that when they cross that white line, they're right to go, unless they want to tell us otherwise.
They
always tell us otherwise after the event.
We should ask Morrow, by the way, but they would not kick a torpedo at all anymore, would they, training?
Some clubs would, I reckon, but I think Sydney have got a directive. There's no sizzle in that team at all at the moment. Mm. I think they play everything straight down the line.
They used to have, because remember when Stewie Jew was an assistant there and Lewis Jetta was playing for them?
Yeah.
Before the game, they would kick 70, 80 metre bombs out into the middle and back for about half an hour, and it was worth getting there early just to watch it.
Yeah, I think they ride big Cal Sinclair pretty hard, so I think he likes to tick all the boxes and make sure everything's going right.
Big Cal. Hey, what's happening, Damo, with Brian this week? Because he had a spell last week on Channel 7, there was no roaming Brian.
No.
Is he back?
You, Brian?
Well, I'm assuming he's back. What is this Friday night?
Of course he's back.
So he's
Adelaide.
Going to Perth, is he?
Oh, sorry,
he's going
Perth.
To Perth. Yeah.
Oh, because it was give... what's his name?
He said give Basil a go.
Give Basil a go.
And then he said Bruce swings with the... Breeze.
He's back. The Bristler's back. Surely he's back Friday night. West Coast Melbourne. Interesting game, that one, actually.
Ooh.
Hey, I love coach speak. Let's call it that, Nath.
Yep.
Because, and I love Chris Scott. Everyone in this conversation knows how much I love both those boys. But to say that Gary Ablett was just trying to bump a bar two players when, in fact, he was elbowing them both in the head.
Jim.
Now, Scotty.
That's a terminology they use.
He left the ground twice and elbowed two blokes in the head.
With two forearms up in the air as well.
Bumble ball not in sight.
It is strange that you play 300 games and then 2 weeks in a row, all of a sudden you lose your brain and do that. But they're lucky again.
There's rules for Gary Ablett in that fife, Jim, and there's rules for others, that's what's happened.
I did run into a long-serving person in our industry who said, how can the most skillful footballer we've seen in the last 20 years get it wrong twice in a row to the point where he's landed an elbow on a player's head? I like the bumper bar, though.
Bumper
that was the bit,
I
enjoyed.
Now, Brownie's brought something to the table, Jim.
Come on. Let's go.
He's got six sides that will challenge for the flag.
Well, there's only six sides, Bill, that can challenge for the flag.
I would have cut it down to three.
So there's only six. And I reckon of those clubs, who's the least you'd like to lose in that footy club?
Right,
I'm going to start with Collingwood. And Brody Grundy, if they lost him, I reckon that'd cause a big dent. I know they can say Mason Cox can go in the middle, but not to the extent that he can give his midfielders first run. Eagles, I don't think they can do without Jeremy McGovern. He's a number one intercept player, number one for scores from those intercepts. I just think there's no player in the competition bar Alex Rance that does what he does. Adelaide, he's the only midfielder I've picked out of this. Rory Sloane, just because I think they need leadership more than any other club. On-field leadership, hard leadership. And when he plays well, Adelaide normally win.
I would have thought it'd be Alex Keith.
Yeah, I would have thought Alex Keith.
He's a bit young at the moment. He's still learning the game. Jeremy Cameron at the GWS. I think GWS is still an opportunity. 30 goals, 28% of his score so far this year of GWS's score. Now, they kicked 5 goals last week. He kicked 0. So when he doesn't fire, I don't think they can kick a winning score. Finlayson's kicked 16 goals, but if he gets the best defender, if Cameron's not there, I don't think he can get that job done.
Agree with that.
And the last two, I'll tell you, I don't think Richmond and Geelong have got a player that they can lose that will affect them at the moment. I think those two clubs at the moment, because Richmond have already lost
Alex Rance,
and it doesn't matter who they get at the moment, they get the job done. Geelong, they can have anybody out of that side at the moment. I think they get the job done. The only two clubs Richmond don't want to play in the finals is Collingwood or West Coast.
You wouldn't put Tom Stewart into that Geelong mix?
No, if I was going to put Tom Stewart, I would have written it down and I would have said it. But no, I'm not, because I said nobody.
Mark, well, I reckon you'd be dismissive of Tom Stewart's talents there, Brownie.
When he went off on the weekend,
more
saying, you see that?
Even as a team.
The 10 minutes he went off, guess who kicked 3 goals in about 5 of those minutes?
I reckon you got to the
Ben
top
Brown.
4 and you thought, I can't think of it, 2 more.
Dev Smith's going to miss a couple of months, Domo?
Is it a couple of months? Is that the latest?
They're saying, maybe.
It's a knee, and it gives a bit
surgery.
Of context to what's been going on with him this year.
He's
he
been
just
battling,
hasn't
has
been
he?
His best and fairest as he was last year. And but to your point, Bill, I mean, we do judge them, don't we? Which we have to.
Yeah,
but now we know there's an issue. I wasn't aware it was 2 months, Jim. I knew there was
maybe up to. So okay, maybe I was a bit.
I knew there was a setback, but
surgery. So it's going to be
lacking. Zippy has been.
Yeah. And Danaher back hopefully this week. Jake Lever plays in the VFL.
It's a big sign for that guy, isn't it? And the club Melbourne to get him back just
huge.
As a
at
again
the
they've
minute.
Had two narrow wins. I think they're way off the pace. They got West Coast this week, but if they just hang in there and Lever coming back, they just might get things right in the back half.
Do you give them any chance in Perth, Melbourne?
No. Hey, what happens this week with the footy show now not on? What happens at 8:30 Thursday night?
I haven't even checked the TV guide. Actually, it's a good question.
I think RBT was rating about 170, so they might put that on back to back, rerun of RBT.
Oh. Is there going to be any? Because I heard yesterday there was.
You've been told you're not on the show yet.
Yeah,
you have.
Last Thursday they said.
Don't worry about coming in.
But there was talks about having a reunion show, Domo.
Yeah, it'll be obviously very difficult to get every single person who was crucial to it over the journey. Because of contracts they've now got, but there'll be a best of in some form, I would think.
Good to see you, Nave. Thanks for dropping in.
See you tomorrow, Jim.
Well done, Purple.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, Roo.
It's the rush hour.
Might as well jump.
This is the build that will get you in the grand final.
Tonight on 9, Lego Masters Grand Finale Week. And it's the final challenge.
You've got 16 hours to build your world.
For ultimate glory.
Oh, congratulations, Ham. The show's been unbelievable, Lego. It is flying.
Bill, how much did you chuckle to yourself down the highway?
Just before? See what we did there.
Oh, yeah, you confused Hamish and me. I mean, my mum does the same thing occasionally.
Hey, he's going well, bud, isn't he? Are you jealous or are you happy for him?
No, it's been awesome. Mm. It's been awesome for us. Awesome because MasterChef, it's kind of... People are forgetting about that. I shouldn't be saying the words MasterChef because talking about your generation is on tonight up against
exactly.
It.
But, which is what we're here to talk to you about.
But everyone knows that show's a dud. And that's why they're tuning into Lego, and well as my show tonight.
Andy Lee, Bill has chuckled, I reckon, for 3 days.
It could have gone a bit better.
He goes, Jim, when Andy comes in, I'm going to play this whole Lego thing. We're going to act as if he's home. I go, Bill, that's just lame.
And but he also didn't commit.
No.
I mean, you went into it. I think there would have been all of 5 seconds before the confidence started to kind of quake a little bit and the trolley started to wobble and you pulled out of it.
Oh, it was good till you walked in. So how are you anyway, Andy?
I'm very well.
Good.
The other thing is for this week, for tonight's episode
tonight,
of Talking About Your Generation.
With whom?
It's your only way you'll see Brendan Favola on television.
Oh, yes.
So for Footy Show fans, please make sure this is the way you can go and find him. If you weren't watching that show because you didn't like Brendan, don't worry, he doesn't feature that much tonight.
No. But if you got a soft spot for Favola, you'll be...
Well, he's your partner.
He is. He's in Gen Y. God, the funny thing about Favola is we'll lose... Competitive bloke.
Yeah.
Well, as people would have known, we're losing. And he turns to me and goes, we're not very good at this. I was like, no, but that's not really the point, mate.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to try and rattle the young kids.
Oh,
no.
And he just starts just mouthing off the young kids. And these kids are like 22 and under trying to perform. And
good
on this gobsmack that Favola's come after.
Someone's actually trash talking them.
Couldn't believe it. And then at one point he threw me under the bus and just said, that's the worst story you've ever told. Like, and I said, is this an insight into playing alongside you, Fev? Is it all about me? You're not propping the other person up. Is that why you got traded to Brisbane and then you're pissed off?
Exactly.
Yeah. So so all that plays out on tonight's television for you.
Hey, the last time we saw each other, you were down at the magnificent St. Andrews Beach Brewery dining with Sam Pang, which is a great sponsor of our shows.
Yeah.
What a joint that is.
Oh, so good. I mean, I've got a house around the corner from there. And so when I found out the day before Christmas that brewery had opened.
Oh.
It's the best Christmas present. It's the best Christmas present I've ever had. I couldn't believe it. It's walking distance. If I take my hiking boots, it's about 2 kilometres away, but I still walk. I still walk home.
What about coming home? It's about 5 k's. Yeah,
that's right.
Hey, and speaking of the house, we did see on Instagram how you had the boys around for the Blues win against the Dogs. We kicked 100 points in the last second, and it looked like an excited gathering.
Yeah, look, that moment on my Instagram was. We were all sitting there going, have we reached 100 points? I'm not sure if people remember, but Sam Walsh, the new kid, picks up the ball and kicks it on the siren. We didn't know whether it was before or after the siren. And so we all got up. It's enough for my old man to get his hands out of the air as well.
Yes, exactly.
He's normally used to taking it to about mouth height to drink, but he got both arms up in the air. I think my brother-in-law was throwing my nephew in the air, bare bummed.
There's a brown eye at the camera.
Exactly.
At the same time.
And my brother and I are up and about. And then you can see the Cats supporter. Back right hand side there, Bill. He's got a Geelong hat on, and it's Beck's dad. I can't say father-in-law. No, we're not there yet. It's Beck's dad.
Good
and
on him.
Look, he hasn't even batted an eyelid. Well, that's how used your mob is to winning.
Doesn't it make you sick?
Plus, we kick 100 points every week.
I know. That's how unfazed he was. He just
good on him. Look at him there, just with a big. What a good fella. I like him.
And then things, of course, fell away a bit with the Brayshaw Judd Cup the next week. I haven't seen Juddy since the winning of the Brayshaw Judd Cup.
Did you put a little...
you're not allowed to because he's now a director.
Oh, right.
But
what about a playful bet? Yeah. I bet Malloy for round one, Carlton Richmond.
Yeah.
The loser had to eat one of the winner's pubes.
And
how do you eat them?
He didn't... We can serve it up whatever you like, a bit of creme fraiche and a cracker and just top it on. Just finish it off.
Be a ferocious batch down in front of Mick.
Mickey, boy.
I know. But then Mick didn't agree. Mick pulled out. That's how nervous he was.
Jeez.
He said, nah, calling the bet off. And so I didn't have to go through with
I don't even know if we're allowed to talk about this because it's a bit ripe.
Yeah.
But I had my older brother and all his mates had a drinking game growing up.
Yes.
And if you wanted to tap out, like if you were seriously unable to go again, the only way that you could tap out is someone had to produce...
Oh, no.
A pubic hair.
And you had to then... That was your option.
What's going on with you two?
Bill.
We never played games that.
And it was
how
called...
Many people tap out?
It was called an Ainslie because it was from around the back. And, Bill, you were either able to have that and then you weren't drinking.
An Ainslie.
Could you
wash it down?
Absolutely. But it had to go down.
It wasn't me.
It was my older brother.
But
you would have ran through the family.
I was never involved in any of that. We want to talk about your generation and lots of other stuff. Yes. What's coming up for Hamish and Andy too?
Andy Lee's in the studio.
Let me look after the intro this time because Bill slaughtered it off the top. But
it's still chuckling away.
Mate, you've done the last of the amazing podcasts because you're heading overseas.
Yes. We had to bank a couple because Hamish and I are off on another travel adventure. I cannot believe he got this past the wife.
I can't believe Nine said yes.
Yeah, well, hang on, Bill.
Bill, they've been pretty good to him. I think the numbers have been okay.
Well, what's happened there lately, Jim? And we'd walk in for a bit of just a salary increase. They'd say, out, straight out. These two walk in. Oh, what do you want? Yeah, how much? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, that's the way it works. It's what's great about this season or show. We've changed the show up a little bit, but we're organising alternate days for each other.
Beautiful.
So, we head off on Saturday. I have 0% knowledge of 50% of the journey and vice versa for Haim. And I know that sounds like we're going to throw each other under the bus a fair bit. I'm sure there'll be a bit of that because at times I'm looking across at Hamish in the office and he's just smiling at me and then he just goes back to his computer.
That's travel.
Yeah, it's a travel show. And so we're going to different destinations, finding different weird things. I know that he's got a few things planned, which makes me just put a few up the back pocket in the back pocket that if I need some redemption or retaliation.
Because you've done them before and they have been amazing. The one I remember more than anything, I don't know who had to do it, but one of the two you had to put your hand in and grab a catfish out. And I remember watching that thinking, I actually couldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, it was only on the way out of that river where a guy came out and said, "Oh, you got one. We had this huge catfish." And he's like, "Oh, gosh, any injuries, any scars?" And we had a little couple of scrapes of the hands. And he goes, "Oh, this is what happened to me." And he puts his hand up, 3 fingers missing.
No.
And I said, "That from a catfish?" And he goes, "Nah, sometimes you don't know whether there's a beaver in there or a catfish, and they just saw your digits straight off. It's a clean, a clean nibble.
That would have been good.
And so that would have been an interesting one if Hamish Huggo comes out.
Turn into David Myers from Essendon. Couldn't kick a talk because he hadn't got a finger on his head.
No,
Bill, I remember watching that thing. I just actually wouldn't do that.
All right, there's one that there's that I've got planned for Hamish, which I know he's not gonna treat him too well.
Well, it's Jackass, a lot of it. I mean, it's getting to that point where it's just madness.
No, it's there's always a cultural reason to be doing this.
Hey, did you go to the footy on Saturday? Very good, Carlton again.
Yeah.
You didn't get caught up in the old reunion there, did you? The 1979 reunion.
No, I didn't. Would have been nice to. I did. I had my fair share of commiseration frothies, and just to deal with that went down afterwards. But look, they played bloody well.
They were real good.
And I thought the coaches, I mean, I was in the coaches' briefing before the match, so I got to see what they were trying to achieve, and they did what they were told. Oh, so I suppose it was just how many players we had. I think the stat that all my mates, Carlton mates, were flicking around was we had 13 players under 23, they had 3. And if it comes down to a crunch time with 5 minutes to go, I suppose those extra games are going to help us in the future.
And also the 28-6 free kick wouldn't have been.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention that.
We were watching.
What about Cripps?
Cripps is nuts. Mate. We were watching the lineup of the 79 boys. Oh, I reckon they had about 17 or 18. It's a good turnout. And they're all respectfully lined up for the teams to come out, except for the Dominator, who just completely abandoned the queue and then walked over to Jeannie Pratt and then walked over to of the chairs.
He ran the show,
High-fiving. He had no desire to stand in line at all.
As his want.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he married Kate Kendall, didn't he? Yeah. They still together?
No, I think they have a little spell.
Good question.
Oh, right. Sorry for bringing that up.
But he certainly did.
He's been crook too.
The reason why I bring it up is because I used to work at a bar in St Kilda, the Village Bell Hotel, back in the day with Angus Sampson. I'm not sure if you remember him. Mm-hmm. Actor. He went on to be an actor. He was telling me about wanting to be an actor, and I was saying I want to do some stupid shit with my mate Hamish. And Kate Kendall used to come in and drink.
Yes.
And I had the biggest crush on her. Yeah. And then it made perfect sense that the best footballer Carlton's ever produced is going out there. The Dominator. Yeah. On and off the field, dominating.
That's flying now, the Village Bell, too.
Yeah.
Done it up.
It's going beautiful.
Yeah. As soon as I left.
But Cripsy, you must like, what number you got on your duffel coat? What would you have?
I am actually pending at the moment.
Oh.
I used to have Simon Wiggins, best centre half forward in the comp.
not Dennis Armfield.
No. Simon Wiggins.
But at the moment, I mean, Cripps is the obvious one.
Yeah, almost.
But there's a few other guys that I like in there that might pinch it. I'm a big fan of Cunningham. I think he's going to be terrific, and we haven't seen enough of him playing footy. But
Liam Stocker.
And Stocker was nice to see him go around on the weekend. People wouldn't know that name either, but very clean and tough out of defence.
Good-looking boy, too.
Good.
Yes. Yeah.
He's bringing a bit to the table.
But I've learnt that in the past. I'm not going to introduce him to my girlfriend.
No,
tends not to go so well for me. Beck doesn't come
or anyone
footy
with a surname Silvani.
Yeah, exactly. That's also all right.
Jack was all right.
No, I'm saying keep him away from your girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know where you're going in.
Just an example of how Bill listens. Yeah. That's why he's so good on the radio.
I was just reading something. I'd rather your other partner, by the way.
Hamish?
No, Sophie Monk.
All right.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, no.
She talked about you a bit, actually.
She wouldn't have mentioned, but she looked good on the show. She was.
Yeah, Bill found Sophie on Instagram and really hasn't been able to get his axis straight again ever since.
Wowee, Jim. His
head's still wobbling off. Andy, great to see you, mate. Good luck with a big holiday show over in the US.
Thank you, guys. Great to see you.
See you, Smack.
Oh, what about the show?
Good show, Jim.
Oh, well, of course, you always have a good show when you get Andy Lee in for a start, our man.
Oh, what about the gag off the top?
Oh, no. Well, all I'm hoping is the gag you're about to tell is funnier than the one you did off the top, which flattened him and me and Rabs and our whole production team.
If we look at it again, Jim, we won't do that.
I don't reckon.
If we get him on.
No, I reckon that'll do with that one. Chris Judd tomorrow.
Oh.
Cameron White tomorrow.
And
Dr. Martin Rice, who's an expert on climate change.
Well, you've been asking for this.
Well, but because, Bill, they're talking about it as the big thing around this election.
Yeah, they are.
And I want to know if it's legitimate and how scared we should be.
Exactly. I'm with you. Glad.
That's coming up tomorrow. Now, Bill.
Yes.
Something, well, I know it's sponsored, but something humorous, please.
Yep.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's Joke.
Let's face it, if your socks are knocked off by Billy's Joke, time for new socks. All Day Socks by Underworks. Nothing knocks these socks off.
Oh, Jimmy boy, another short one. A very good one yesterday.
No, it wasn't good.
104-year-old who had no...
Yeah, well, actually, not too bad. Not bad. It wasn't bad, that
I
one.
Knew you liked it. Yeah, I knew.
No peer group pressure.
Because you went home and told everyone at the dinner table, so that was good.
Come on.
Here's another little one for you.
Go on.
What's the difference between a pizza and a jazz musician?
What's the difference?
A pizza can feed a family of four.
Oh, no.
Jim, do you get it? So I don't know if you get it.
You're basically saying that a jazz musician makes no money.
They don't get a lot of work.
Right.
And they can't feed the family.
I see.
Yeah,
bang!
Whereas
a pizza can.
And pizza can, Jim.
Oh, no.
That's a difference.
Come on,
Bill. I knew it would be a bit of high tail for you two.
High tail?
You two flogs. Got no idea what's going on. Anyway, Wednesday night. Steak night somewhere in Melbourne.
That's a better joke.
I've got a good one for Friday.
Oh, have you?
Lady was nude in a cab, Tim. How are you going to pay for it?
Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.